If you've ever signed a ballot petition while you were coming out of the grocery store or out of the library, let me ask you this. How would you feel if your name were then splashed on the front page somewhere as a supporter of that ballot initiative or that candidate if you signed to support someone? Is that legal? Well, right now it is. Or does the First Amendment guarantee you the right to speak anonymously?
But the irony there is if you actually contribute to a campaign, that does go up on a billboard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, you're putting your name on a legal document. To a certain extent, that's public record. Well, this is what the Supreme Court is considering in a case out of Washington State that regards a ballot measure that would repeal domestic partnerships. And it's one of many free speech cases, actually, that the court is weighing in on. A week ago, the court ruled that banning the sale of videos in which animals are harmed violates the First Amendment. And we also had an earlier ruling by justices on corporate speech and a political campaign contributions, the Citizens United case. There's other First Amendment cases on their agenda in the upcoming months as well. So we could get a redefinition of the First Amendment from this court. Joining us again, Dahlia Lithwick, senior legal correspondent for Slate. And Dahlia, I wanted to talk about this case that's before the Supreme Court now, Doe v. Reed. In California, actually, there was a proposition when Proposition 8 was a ballot initiative. A court there ruled that the names of those who supported that ballot initiative were supposed to be made public. But then same-sex opponents argued it would subject them to harassment and retaliation. Yesterday, our producer spoke with Charles Limandry. He's a resident of San Diego. He says he was harassed for donating money to support Proposition 8.
I got a series of emails from at least six people, probably closer to 12, calling me a bigot, and one person called me a Nazi. The impression I got was I was clearly being subject to harassment and intimidation to keep me from being involved in the political process on an issue of public importance, and I really felt it was a violation of my rights to participate in an issue of public debate.
So Dahlia, but the way the law stands now, though, as soon as you put your name on a public document, people can publish that name.
Well, certainly that's the law that's being challenged in Washington State. This is Washington State Public Records Act, and it does say, as far as the state authorities have interpreted it, that yes, because this is what you're doing is you're legislating. You're not just contributing funds. You're not just weighing in on something. You're part of the act of creating new law, and as an act of legislating, it has to be public record. So the question really that the court has to deal with, and let me add, Celeste, this is unprecedented. We don't have cases on point that really guide the court on this question. The question is this, as an act of speech, something that transcends speech and becomes an act of legislating that can be disclosed?
Well, certainly the court, it sounds bad when you hear someone saying that they were harassed and called a Nazi after they put their name on a ballot initiative. But our producer spoke with Todd Donovan. He's a political scientist. He's actually filed a brief in this case. Here's what he had to say.
We did a pretty extensive database search, Nexus, Lexus, everything, you know, just trying to find any news coverage of harassment associated with signing ballot petitions, and we can't find anything. What we do find evidence of is if we can ask for public disclosure of those records, we can find that some people were signing stuff that they didn't mean to sign, or that some signatures are fraudulent, or that names have been made up. So there is hard evidence that access to the records can potentially police fraud.
Okay, so on one hand, we have people who claim they've been harassed. On the other hand, you have this the value of the public record. Right?
Well, that's exactly right. And the sense that if we can't watchdog this petition signing exercise, and don't forget people were signing petitions outside Walmart, they're signing petitions in public places. If you can't police that activity, how can you possibly check to see that those signatures are valid? And so the argument on the other side is we need the government interest in making sure that this process is fair and transparent is far more compelling, they say, than the mere assertion that, hey, I'm going to get harassed. Someone might call me and harass me. They say this is the core act of policing open government.
Well, you know, as you say, there's really not a lot of precedent on this case where in some senses flying blind. We have no idea how the court would weigh down. But we do have this hint out of the Citizens United case. That was the big campaign finance case when Justice Kennedy wrote that disclosing information about petition signers could be unconstitutional. And he, and I'm going to quote him here, if there were a reasonable probability that the group's members would face threats, harassments, or reprisals if their names were disclosed. Isn't that exactly what we're talking about in this case out of Washington?
I think it's part of what we're talking about. I think it's quite different, again, when you're talking about a ballot initiative and a campaign contribution. And I think also the court's going to want to see real evidence that there's going to be reprisal, threats, and harassment. One of the things that happened in the Prop 8 situation was that the court, as you'll recall, actually shut down video of the trial because they were persuaded that trial witnesses would face harassment and reprisals. So maybe just the mere threat that, you know, somebody's going to come after me is going to be enough for five members of the Roberts Court. It was enough for them to shut down video of the Prop 8 trial.
But doesn't that create a separate set of standards for controversial issues where people are going to get reactions to taking their controversial position versus other issues where there isn't such controversy?
Isn't that funny? That was one of the strange paradoxes, again, in the Prop 8 trial. The court said, oh, you guys should video trivial, low-interest things. Don't video things that have high public interest. That puts people into the spotlight.
It's a public broadcasting, that's what that is.
Hey, no digs in C-SPAN.
Cases.
But so, Dahlia, what does this tell us? Is the Supreme Court, they seem to have been taking a number of cases and weighing in on a number of cases that deal with the First Amendment. Is this justice, is the Roberts Court kind of redefining free speech?
I think they're catching up with technology. Technology has raise these brand new issues. This issue wouldn't happen were it not for new technologies like the internet. I think the Roberts Court is getting ready to jump in on those issues.
Do you think it's purposeful?
Well, I think they haven't handed down major First Amendment cases in a long time, and I think they probably have a sense that it's time, that these issues are becoming more pressing as technology catches up with First Amendment law.
And that could change when we lose Justice Stevens at the end of the summer, right? That could change the balance?
There's no question that Stevens is one of the strongest voices for the First Amendment on the court, and that's certainly something Obama will be looking at when he replaces him, is a strong, strong defender of the First Amendment, equal to Stevens in passion and in vision.
Okay, Dahlia Lithwick, senior legal correspondent for Slate. Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.